The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
That's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. LA Now will talk LeBron's All-Star team. The one that he picked. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Okay, so LeBron and KD had to pick up All-Star teams. I jumped the gun because Raj put it in front of my face. I'm like Will Ferrell in Anchorman. Whatever you put in the prompter, I'm going to say. I'm a stupid moron. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you put it in the prompter, I'm going to read it. So this is really mismatched. LeBron did a much better job picking his team than KD did. Here are the starters for LeBron. LeBron, Giannis, Steph, Luka, and Jokic. Oof. Those are the starters. Whoa. That'd be the greatest team of all time, right? The reserves, Lillard, Simmons, Chris Paul, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, Sabonis, and Gobert. Look, Gobert is, but Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons, they can't crack your starting five. Meantime, KD's team is Kyrie, okay, it's a teammate, Embiid, Kawhi, Bradley Beal, and Tatum. Now, let me just say, three of those guys on the starting five could not start for LeBron's team. Kyrie, Beal, and Tatum couldn't start for LeBron's team. And the other thing is, Embiid is great, but like Jokic, and he's better than Jokic because of the defense. But offensively, Jokic has maybe been at least as good as Embiid this year. Like, Embiid's a little better than Jokic. A little better than Jokic. I think it's a mismatch. Hold on. You got LeBron and Giannis. Now remember, KD can't play. So LeBron and Giannis, Steph, Doncic, and Jokic? Oof. Who's the worst player in the starting five? Jokic? Better than Beal or Tatum by a lot. Almost as good as Embiid. Better than Kyrie Irving. Like, LeBron's really only got Kawhi and Embiid who could start for... Oh, sorry, KD only has Kawhi and Embiid who could start for LeBron's team. Right? I mean, Doncic is better than... I mean, like, who's better, Kawhi Leonard or Luka Doncic? I guess Kawhi because of the defense, but it's close. And Giannis and, that's a whole lot of LeBron has. Now, the reserves for KD, James Harden, that's a big gun. Devin Booker, awesome. Zion Williamson. Zach LaVine, by the way, here's the crazy thing about LaVine. He's one of these guys who, in a sneaky kind of way, you don't think of him as a high-level all-star, just like a regular all-star. How much more does he have to do to start entering MVP conversations, right? Like, his team has to win. That's about it. Zach LaVine is the best high-flying act who's also an all-star since who? Right? Who else plays above the rim like Zach LaVine and has also been an all-star in recent years? He's like Blake Griffin, but that's a different style player. You know what Zach LaVine's shooting from three this year? He's taking eight threes a game. He's shooting 44%. You don't think of him like that, right? You think of him as the dunk contest winner. If it's 28.7, I'll call it 29 because you round up. 29 points a game as the best dunker since who? Vince Carter? Michael Jordan? With five boards and five assists? Shooting 44% from three? Holy Moses. 86% from the line? Zach LaVine's like, if that team ever starts winning, Zach LaVine, in a blink, is going to be an MVP candidate. Julius Randle, Vucevic, and Donovan Mitchell. Now, the Kevin Durant's bench is impressive with James Harden, Devin Booker, Zion Williamson, and Donovan Mitchell. And I like Julius Randle a lot. I just mentioned Zach LaVine and Vucevic. But let's go back to LeBron's bench, Raj. LeBron has Damian Lillard, who could easily be a starter on either team, and Ben Simmons, who also is, like, you know, defensively maybe the best player in basketball, and offensively does everything but shoot at an historically elite level. Ugh. LeBron's team's a lot better than KD's team. Like, a lot better than KD's team. And also, just the brand names on LeBron's team are gangster. Giannis going first is a little, like, are you surprised at all about Giannis going first in the draft? It's funny because, what do I always say? Game recognize game. Real recognize real, right? As much as I was saying Kawhi or someone else other than KD is the second best player in the game to LeBron, LeBron basically acknowledged it was KD. In other words, like, when there's a transcendent talent, Kawhi is an all-time great player. And he is among the all-time greatest defensive players, and he is a great offensive player. But watching Kawhi never makes you feel like you're watching a transcendent generational kind of talent. There's a difference between being the best in your generation or among them and being a generational talent that sort of transcends generations. And KD does give you that feeling when you're watching him, right? So, and LeBron recognized that. So it's always interesting to see who those guys, LeBron or KD, see as the most like them. LeBron took Giannis. That's interesting to me. A lot of guys to choose from. He took Giannis. I've been saying Embiid is the MVP so far. You look at the guys who got voted, right? Like, there are a lot of superstar kind of players. They took Giannis. Vincent from Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how's it going?
Go ahead, Vincent.
I was wondering, a half hour ago you were like saying that Joel Embiid, MVP of the first half, and I totally agree with you. And going, if the Sixers win the finals and Embiid gets MVP, do you think that Embiid will be one of the best big men of all time?
Not yet, because it's not, well, like, Bill Walton is considered one of the best big men of all time. He had 1 year where he played a full season at the level where he's one of the greatest of all time. But Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe back then, you know, Bob Ryan, ESPN fame. Bob used to say one game, fate of the universe on the line, his first pick is that Bill Walton of that year that they won the championship, and Bill Walton won MVP. I disagree with him. You know, like, Bob, come on. The answer is Michael Jordan. Like, if the question's basketball, the answer is Michael Jordan. Let's not get too cute. You want to get cute, at least say Bill Russell or someone like that. You know, Bill Walton, stop it. I mean, even in college, Bill Walton was not in the college or the pros, and they played for the same coach. Kareem was better than Bill Walton. You want to get cute, say Kareem. But Bill Walton was like an all-time great, among the greatest ever for a year. Embiid is kind of a perfect center right now. And if he won the MVP this year, he would be an all-time great in that way. But he has not done that consistently enough to be mentioned with Shaq and Wilt and Bill Russell and Hakeem. Not yet. Wait, do we have Jordan Schultz on the line right now, Raj?
Coming up here. He's coming up in a second here. He's just getting his NBA halfway point Max Kellerman Show guest on a good year hotline. All-star show together.
I see.
Yes, he's getting that list together. You know, his award show.
Well, we're going to have Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst and insider, joining me in a moment to talk about the NBA half point awards. You know, the Max Awards. Coach of the Year Quinn Snyder, Rookie of the Year LaMelo Ball, and MVP Joel Embiid. You know, what Embiid's doing, like, what's funny is Embiid has been so amazing, he's overshadowed Jokic. But what Jokic is doing on offense is arguably even better than Embiid on offense. The thing about Embiid is he's just about as good on defense, too. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Jordan, have you heard my NBA awards at the half?
What do you got, big fella? What do you got?
Oh, see, Raj lied to me and told me that you were collecting this information. Okay. I have as runner-up Coach of the Year, Doc Rivers, as Coach of the Year so far at the halfway point, Coach of the Halfway Point, Quinn Snyder. I have third runner-up, Emmanuel Quickley. for Rookie of the Year. I have Halliburton as my Tyrese Halliburton as my runner-up Rookie of the Year, and of course LaMelo Ball as my Rookie of the Year, and as my third runner-up MVP first half, James Harden. Second runner-up, LeBron James, and MVP Joel Embiid. Tell me where I'm right and wrong.
Wow, a lot to digest there, Max. And I got to tell you, I'm with it. I'm with a lot of it. You said you had quickly third.
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah, and I think he's done it without a lot of burn.
Yeah, I was going to say quickly is really interesting. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year, but what he's done with less burn now that Derrick Rose is there has been really impressive. He was a guy that when I spoke with John Calipari pretty recently, he had said, "Listen, this guy's going to explode. He's got all the tools to be a really good NBA guard that can score in bunches, that can get to the cup," and he was right. So I love quickly. Obviously, they got him in the latter half of the first round. Really impressive pick, and he's going to be a good player for a long time. Halliburton's another guy, though, because, obviously he's been overshadowed a bit by LaMelo, but Halliburton is a two-time Western Conference Rookie of the Month, and he's done something that has been, to me, the biggest surprise. He shot the ball extremely well. You know, he's been well over 40% from three the whole season. In February, 16 points, five assists, four rebounds, and about 85% from the line. Another team that has struggled, the Kings, but Halliburton, it was a really, really good pick by Sac. And, Max, as you know, they've missed on a lot of picks. I'm really happy that...
Let me ask you something, Jordan. Let me stop there for a second. I thought Halliburton was the guy with the highest floor in the draft. And partly that was because of how well he shot in college. It seems to me that was one of his... Like, he's a two-way player. I thought he had the most NBA-ready game overall and the game that matched best in any backcourt. And I thought that you could even have argued to take him first overall because of that, because he's the highest floor guy. And if you take a team like the Knicks, who took Obi Top and you get it and everything, but had they taken Halliburton, they'd be better right now. Why does it surprise you about his shooting? Because he was known as a shooter coming in.
It surprises me because his shot mechanics are not like super prototypical.
Yeah.
And when I talked to some people before the draft, they said, "I don't know if Halliburton's shot is going to translate." And I would always push back and say, well, he shot the ball extremely well in college at Iowa State before the injury. He always shot the ball well from the line, which is a good indicator. And, I think he's probably surprised even the most passionate Kings fans who, if you would have told NBA people that Halliburton was going to come in and shoot the ball in the mid-40s from three the whole season, I think everyone would have been really surprised because, even really good shooters like Tyler Hero come in and it might take him a little bit, Max.
Right, to
so
adjust, yeah.
I'm not necessarily surprised that he shot the ball well, but I think at this rate, and also his pick and roll game is so good. Like, if you put Halliburton in a side pick and roll, he's already in the 85th percentile per synergy because he's so efficient as a scorer and he's also such a good passer. And like LaMelo, he's got that great size.
How is it that I, who don't pay attention to college as some others do. It ain't the St. John's Big East days anymore.
Barkley, Omar Cook.
And the teams let Halliburton fall as late as they, like, including the Knicks. And I get the Knicks with Obi Top, and there's a local angle there, too, and he was spectacular in college and all that. But, like, I just think of, like, Halliburton's just, he felt like, Klay Thompson was another one. These two-way, good shooting, go with anyone's backcourt type guys seem to fall. I guess people are so enamored with the high upside. Like, if they look at you and don't think you can ever be an MVP, they figure, why draft him? Let's roll the dice. What about LaMelo Ball's rookie season so far, speaking of future MVPs? This kid, you can say whatever you want about daddy, right? And he's been crude and all this stuff. He raised kids who play the game the right way, Jordan Schultz. Lonzo Ball, to me, is one of those guys always looking to make the right play for his team, whether or not it shows him up in the box score. And LaMelo's like that, too. And in addition to that, a spectacular passer. Your thoughts on LaMelo's rookie season so far?
Well, very well said. And, we can say what we want about the balls, but these kids can flat out play. And it's similar to Halliburton, whose assist to usage rate is 1.33. Balls is extremely high as well. That's because of the IQ. I mean, his numbers since starting, which is 14 games, so not a super small sample size, 21 points, 6 rebounds, and I think 7 assists. And he's also shooting 43% from three. So I think his intelligence, Max, I mean, it's hard to imagine that the kid played as poorly as he did in Australia. If you go back and you look at the numbers, they're really not very good, and they weren't winning. He didn't end up playing a lot of games, but it wasn't like a really impressive stint. And then he comes to Charlotte, and all of a sudden he's like almost reborn as a basketball player. And, you know, I thought Michael Jordan said it best. He said that he succeeded their expectations too. And that was very high already. They thought he was going to be a really good player. When I talked to Jay Triano, who's a longtime assistant NBA coach, has done some head coaching as well. He's an assistant on the Hornets staff. And I said, what's most impressive about LaMelo? He said, the kid is a flat-out worker. He never leaves the gym. The whole team likes him. Everybody does. And he listens. He really listens. And I think for young players, Max, especially one with LaMelo's pedigree, to come in and listen and take advice, take constructive criticism and apply it is why he's having so much success.
Well, all I know is you talk about like broken shots or Halliburton's shots, you know, looks funny. The Ball brothers have the most broken-looking shots, but they go in consistently. Coach Mackey and Coach Lefty at Steady Buckets, my daughter Esther's basketball skills development program, they would be like, if you shot the ball like that in practice, they'd be like, what are you doing? Because you have to repeat the motion. But the mechanics. Somehow they keep going in. Like, I think the sample size is too large for coincidence at this point.
I agree. And to your point, there are nights when you watch Lonzo and you think this guy has it. Like, he's not consistent, but there are nights when you watch him when he's really good. But LaMelo is really, he's that guy. I mean, the fact that he has 7 double-doubles and no other rookie has more than 3, you know, he's been such a conduit for them to have this success, and he's fit in really well next to Rozier. Hayward loves playing with him, so I'm excited about
LaMelo. He's more athletic than Lonzo, you know, talking to Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst.
More
athletic, more dynamic, more fluid, and 19. Like, to see a kid if he was 22, I'd be like, ooh, he's really good. This guy can be a perennial all-star. But when you're a teenager doing this in the NBA, it tells me you have a chance to win an MVP one day, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I don't know how we're doing on time, but the night before the draft, Alonzo was picked. So a few years back, I went up and I finagled my way to an interview with LeVar Ball, and it was in their hotel room. So it was a pretty interesting environment. It was LeVar, LiAngelo, LaMelo, and Lonzo. And I was fascinated because LaMelo at that point wasn't that big. And LeVar told me, he said, I love my son Lonzo. He said, but this one, he points to LaMelo. He said, this one's going to be the one. And Lonzo was kind of like, yeah, he is. And now 4 years later, look what we have.
That's right. Are you concerned at all about the Lakers, Jordan?
A little bit, but, you know, Anthony Davis is so good and so effective on both ends for them. When they do get him back, I think he'll just instantly be that guy. I mean, it might take him a couple weeks, but, Max, I would ask you, who's someone that, you know, is following these, you know, big storylines every day and on First Take, like the Lakers are consistently someone you're talking about, right? Because it does seem like there is some panic there. Not like a full-on, but like on a 1 to 10, like a 6.
I would say that the Achilles situation, I had Dr. Clapper from ESPN LA, does Weekend Warrior Show, orthopedic surgeon, on yesterday, and he said the issue is with that kind of an injury, you have to rely on the patient's own feelings. So how does it feel? It feels okay. Then he goes out and he makes it worse. That means, the way Dr. Clapper put it, Anthony Davis is not in touch with his own body. But the way I perceive that is Anthony Davis is in a culture, you know, an athletic culture where you can't let every bump and bruise knock you off course. You have to tell, say, and is not in a position where he can always be honest about the way his body feels. And right now, because LeBron's playing every game, AD, why aren't you playing every game? Right now is not the time to be less than 100% honest about how he's feeling, because I am worried about the Achilles with him, and especially Jordan, the way the Nets are playing.
Oh God! I mean, we can wax poetic all day, my man, about the Nets. I'm with it, but also, like, with the Lakers, you know, the roster, it's a very good roster. Don't get me wrong, but without LeBron, they don't have, and without LeBron and Schroeder, they don't have a lot of creators. You know, I mean, they have finishers like Harrell and Horton Tucker can do some creating, but he finishes. You know, the fact that they have a Kuzma who's played really well, but he's not really a creator, so they rely so much on Davis to score and really become that pick and pop guy as well with LeBron. So for him, if he comes back, Max, and he's like 85%, I don't know if they can win a title. I think he has to be really close, to your point.
That's exactly right. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst and insider, correspondent on the Boardroom. You can see that on ESPN Plus. Joins me, friend of the show. Joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Jordan, always appreciate it when you come on. Goodyear helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Let me ask you something, fight fans, MMA fans, UFC fans. Does John Jones, a lot of people say he's the greatest mixed martial artist in history. I think that's debatable. But he's the most electrifying. He was supposed to be the greatest if he's not already. Does John Bones Jones have anything to worry about after UFC 259? Will there emerge a fighter who people believe might be able to beat John Bones Jones, even if he has to go up to heavyweight? It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Will UFC 259 give John Bones Jones something to worry about?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Got any upsets at UFC 259? 259 UFCs. That's like, I remember UFC 1. It was a big deal back then, before Zuffa even bought it. Before Dana White, right? Like, I remember that was such a big deal. Who wins, the karate guy or the kung fu guy? The boxer or the taekwondo, right? And there was an answer. It's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu won. That was the answer. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu one-on-one, best fighting form in the world. But now, like, you have such a hybrid of styles. I always thought Bruce Lee should be the logo for the UFC because he was the first one to popularize, at least in popular culture. He was the first one to say, I don't care if it's called karate, kung fu, jiu-jitsu, boxing, whatever. I just want to use what works. Krav Maga, the same thing, by the way. Krav Maga, Israeli, like, self-defense stuff is, you know, just whatever works. Well, that's like a street fight. Anyway, boy, the UFC's come a long way. UFC 259, exclusively on ESPN Plus, by the way, and this is a stacked card. Israel Adesanya, who's, like, if you haven't seen him fight, how could I describe him? He calls himself the last style bender. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Y'all must have forgot, but trust me, I had to make y'all remember. Was in the nosebleeds, and now I made his nosebleed.
You know, like when, so because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was the answer early in the UFC's history, it turns out that, you know, because fights wind up on the ground and then grappling, and eventually the UFC changed the rules. Like, well, a lot of it's too subtle for people to see all the grappling, so they stand fighters up and everything. But even before that, American wrestlers realized if we could just stay out of submission holds, because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, basically, you're isolating limbs and hyperextending them, so the guy taps out, or else you're choking windpipes, right? Again, so the person passes out or taps out. And American wrestlers realized, because of their ground skills, if we could just stay out of submission holds and meantime grind them down with strikes, ground and pound, right? Like, we can win. And eventually, you know, Royce Gracie gave way to fighters who could stay out of submission holds and also grind you down with strikes on the ground. But anyway, throughout its history and throughout the kind of history of the American public kind of grappling, so to speak, with the idea of MMA and how this fits into fighting and boxing and all this, one of the issues is always like, well, if someone tries to get you on the ground and you're a really good striker, they have to come in on you and you can, you know, hurt them and finish them before they can get you on the ground. And so there's no such thing as an MMA fighter without ground skills. You must have ground skills. But Israel Adesanya is that guy. come in on him and you never get in because you're out before you can. He's not southpaw, not orthodox, not righty or lefty. He can finish you with his hands, his elbows, or his feet from either stance, going forward, backward, or sideways at any time. And he has a real slick defense because he was a kickboxing champion. He takes his head offline. You know, a lot of strikers in MMA have real good striking skills, but their head stays in the middle, so they're easy to hit. For like a trained boxer, for example, if you're standing up. Adesanya moves his head. However, the way he moves it sometimes, and he's tall so he can get away with it, is even he'll take it offline, but sometimes he'll pull straight back. Now, as boxers know, if you're Muhammad Ali, you're 6'3", you can get away with that. If you're Nassim Hamed, featherweight champ once upon a time, and you're 5'3", and you pull straight back, you get dropped, as Hamed found out against Kevin Kelly in Madison Square Garden. He got up to win the fight, but... So Adesanya now moving up to light heavyweight from middleweight in fighting Blachowicz is fighting a guy. In fact, he even mentioned to me when I asked him about this on First Take, he said, yeah, I've been considering that, actually. That when you lean back, you're still in the path of the punches. You really got to get offline and not just lean back against taller fighters with longer reaches. That said, Adesanya is coming into this fight way under the weight limit, And Adesanya's chiseled from stone. Like, this dude is live, you know, lean. But no one's ever weighed as light as Adesanya did and won the UFC light heavyweight title. That's per ESPN stats and info. Fighters who've weighed under 202 pounds are 0-2. But Adesanya, you know, like, I remember... This is before my time, but I know I'm, you know, well-versed in boxing history. I think it was Emil Griffith, who was welterweight champ. He moved up to fight at middleweight. He didn't just because the middleweight weight limit was 160. That didn't mean he had to go up to 160. You could weigh 150. It's where you fight best. What a weight limit allows you to do is not necessarily just put on bulk, but just train to the point where you feel you're at your best, at your most effective, and fight there, even if you're giving up some weight. I think that's what Adesanya's thinking. I'm just going to be the best version of myself, even if I have to give up some size. If Adesanya wins, and when he wins, normally it's spectacular. If Adesanya wins, now he's the light heavyweight champ, and John Jones wins the heavyweight title. Adesanya, John Jones, is a mega fight. Meantime, I didn't even mention the best fighter on the card. Amanda Nunes, the greatest female MMA artist in the history of the sport. She's beaten every female name fighter of her era. Nunes will be in the zone tomorrow at UFC 259. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. The All-Star Games on Sunday. NBA All-Star. Hear all the festivities right here at ESPN Radio. Up next... We have a Who's Smarter Than Max All-Star Edition. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, yeah. The animals. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. As soon as Raj enlarges the Zoom screen with the words on it and minimizes his own face, I'll be able to tell you what I'm about to do. Unfortunately, we communicate over Zoom, and what has happened... Oh, here we go. Thank you, Raj. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Well, I can tell you it was epic. It took twists and turns. We laughed. We cried. There was drama, excitement, triumph, disappointment. Every human emotion you could possibly need. In your car, on your way to going, wherever the hell you're going in the middle of the day. Anyway, you can find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Time for Who's Smarter Than Max? Okay.
All right.
Raj loves some cheesy right. game show music.
Oh, yeah. It cracks me up. I get happy. But check it out. You know the All-Star Game is this Sunday.
Yep.
In Atlanta. Now, you can hear all of the festivities. I'm talking about the steals competition. I'm talking about the three-point shooting dunk contest. You can listen to all of it right here on ESPN Radio, by the
yep.
way. Just tune in. You won't miss a thing.
Yep.
But got me thinking of, you know, who's smarter than Max All-Star Edition? So our technical leader, B there, Bubba, Brendan, Bubba, you just call him B. How are you there? You ready to go here?
Yeah. What are we doing here, Raj?
Yeah, listen to that enthusiasm. Here we go. Well, Max teased it about five times during the show. If you were paying attention, you'd be fine instead of messing up the rundown and messing Max up. But here we go. So, gentlemen, I'm going to ask you a question. You know how it goes. You just take turns, and the last man standing kind of wins it. So, there are NBA players. It's the NBA All-Star Game, right? Name me the players that have made 14 or more All-Star Games.
Who starts?
Ooh. You go. You're the host. You start.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Number one. Whenever there's a trivia, right, for NBA, usually starting with Kareem is a good bet, right? 19 of them. Go ahead, B. You catch the drift, right?
LeBron James.
Okay, LeBron. And I'll give you guys a hint. That's the only active player on this list. So LeBron has made 17 and counting. That puts him third on the list. Someone's made more. Go ahead, Max.
Kobe Bryant.
Ooh, that's the player that made more. That's right. He's made 18 of them. So you guys got the top three. That's pretty good. B, can you keep it rolling?
Michael Jordan.
Mm-mm. Michael Jordan, another good name to mention. Max is no, but guess what? He did play enough when he with those Wizards
ones. Oh, right,
ones
that's right.
Put him
Wizards,
right
he went
14.
Wizards, they sent him to the All-Star game when he shouldn't have gone.
But he made it fun. He made it fun. Stall him out. Stall him out. All right, your turn.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
There are six more players on the list. Six more players.
Because let me just, I'm going to take you through my thinking. Bird didn't play long enough, and I don't think Magic did either. So that leaves us with 14 All-Stars. I'm going to go ahead and say Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq. He made 15. Go ahead. Look at your bad soul. Shaq made it. Go ahead, B. You got one?
Oh, God. He got...
There's five more players.
I was really banking on him getting that one wrong there. As
and
Max
most
tends
of them are
to
at
do.
One position. Most of them are at one position.
Yeah, no hints, Rod.
Four of the five are at one position. Oh, you got a hint. You didn't get mad. Go ahead, B.
Yeah,
you got?
I got the hint. Of course
we
I didn't get mad.
We are looking for players that have made 14 or more All-Star games. You guys know pretty well.
There's an obvious one. There's one obvious one.
Tim Duncan.
Yeah, there it goes.
Oh, that's right. Tim Duncan is fourth on the list. He's made 15. There's another player that's made 15. One other player that's made 15. You guys haven't been. Go ahead, Max.
Oh, starting to run out of...
Yeah, you are. I'll give you a hint. Two of them are white. Here you go.
But I'm going to say that there's one who's not white who I'm thinking about.
Okay.
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, that's right, number 15. There are three left. All of them have nicknames. Well, two of them have nicknames. One kind of a nickname, but two of them are white. There we go. Let's go. Now, you guys picked a position. You picked power forward the last two times.
I got it. I'm pretty sure I got it. Yeah, okay.
We might not even have time for the bonus question. You guys are doing so well. You're getting through the whole list. But there is a time. Let me just start the clock on yourself, D.
Come on. Dirk.
Dirk, he got it. That's right. Dirk is on the list. You got two players left. Dirk made 14 of them. There's one player that's made 14. No, two other players that have made 14 on the dot.
The problem is, once we get one, we're going to get the other one, I think.
Okay, give it a try.
Which one should I take? I'll take Karl Malone. Uh-huh.
Malone the Mailman is on this one of the coolest nicknames. There is one more player left on this list. Can you get it, B? Oh, this will be.
This is cake right now.
Oh, you guys are just getting through the whole. No one's ever made it through the whole list. You guys are making Max Kellerman show history.
One left.
Yes.
Brendan.
Don't lose track of the clock here, B. I know you're thinking here, but we got a hard out here.
Yeah, we got 1 minute from right now.
Okay.
Jerry West.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Both of you guys, you get to play the theme.
I would have gotten that wrong. You know what I would have said? I would have gotten it wrong.
You would have went Stockton.
I would have went Stockton, yeah. I was not thinking Jerry West. Yeah.
Oh, give both yourselves a pat on the back. You're both winners today. You know what?
You're
everyone
just
on
as
the
smart as me.
Show is the winner. Yes. And of course, remember, you can listen to all of the All-Star festivities right here on ESPN Radio. I'm
well,
so proud of you.
There you have it. What a fitting end. Came right down to the wire, and I won. Tie goes to me. That's how I like to play. Those are the rules, house rules.
Oh, man.
So if you missed any of the Max Kellerman show today, just remember, it was a tremendous show. And you can always find both hours of it posted daily as a podcast. I like the podcast numbers to be very high. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.